1, Blessed Francis Cheeky of Pizarro, Confessor, 3rd Order. Francis was the son of a wealthy and devout family at Pizarro in Italy. After the death of his parents, while he was still a youth, he became the master of a considerable estate. This might have been a dangerous occasion for many a young man to give himself over to a life of pleasure. But his earlier Christian training taught him how much bitterness is frequently associated with such a course. Francis chose rather to follow the advice of Christ to the young man in the gospel, so that he might attain to Christian perfection. He divided the greater part of his inheritance among the poor. The remaining part he used to build 3 hermitages, and at each of these a chapel in honor of our Blessed Lady. A hospice for poor travelers and pilgrims was added to one of these hermitages. Then he was invested with the habit of the 3rd Order of St. Francis, and lived a holy life as a hermit, devoting himself to prayer and the works of charity. The tempter did not fail to offer inducements to make Francis return to the world. When he did not succeed with his plans, he endeavored to take Francis's life. One night, while the holy man was at prayer, the devil rolled a heavy rock down from the mountainside toward his hermitage. The rock would surely have buried the hermit under the ruins, but it was held suspended on the side of the mountain, and no harm came to the praying hermit. His devout life did not remain a secret. Soon disciples came to him, and Francis did not have the heart to send them away. He trained them in his devout exercises and went out humbly to the neighboring town to beg the necessities of life for them. Because he had won the esteem of everyone, he often obtained more than they really needed. One day, when he was returning with the provisions he had collected, 2 men met him and insulted him by calling him a hypocrite and an idler, who abused the simplicity of the faithful and grew rich at their expense. God immediately chastised the offenders. The one became paralyzed, and the other was struck dumb. Francis actually reserved for himself and his brethren only so much of the alms he received as was needed by them. The rest he distributed among the poor. Once he was asked by some friends to have dinner with them. The savor of an excellent roast whetted his appetite, and he was given a few slices to take home with him. But he kept the meat until it was putrid and emitted a very bad odor. Then he took it, held it up to his nose, and said, "Now, Francis, eat and be satisfied." God glorified his servant by many miracles and the gift of prophecy. The veneration which the people paid to him was so great that it was considered a privilege even to touch his habit. After living the life of a hermit for more than 50 years, he died peacefully in the Lord in the year 1350. The entire town of Pizarro was present when his body was placed in a tomb in the cathedral, where it is still an object of veneration at the present day. Pope Pius IX approved the celebration of his feast. On detaching oneself from material things. Ever since our first parents ate of the forbidden fruit, there has arisen in the heart of man an inordinate desire for material things, which manifests itself in avarice, sensuality, and love of honor. Material things are constantly enticing the human heart, and it is only by struggling against this tendency that we can hope to arrive at our goal. The lust thereof shall be under you, and you shall have dominion over it. Genesis 4:7. How perfectly blessed Francis controlled his appetites. Grace invited him to heroic detachment, and cheerfully he followed the call, and thus he became a saint. The rich young man of the gospel whom Christ invited to such detachment did not heed the invitation. He went away sad, for he had great possessions, and it is considered doubtful whether he saved his soul. Consider that even the ordinary Christian must detach himself from material things. He may use them only as a means of fulfilling his duties as a Christian, without letting his heart cling to them, without seeking his happiness in them. Hence, the Apostle admonishes us that they who use this world be as if they used it not. 1 Corinthians 7:31. Examine yourself to determine whether your heart is free from inordinate affection for material things. How do you behave if God deprives you of material possessions? Do you perhaps envy others who have been favored with a greater amount of worldly goods? If so, your heart is still too much attached to them. Consider that as long as the heart of a Christian is still unduly attached to material things, he cannot rise to the interior life and to true prayer. Just as a fluffy feather cannot rise upwards as long as mud clings to it, so the heart of man is not free to raise itself to God as long as it does not detach itself from material things. Thomas A. Kempis says, "The interior man is greatly weighed down by the necessities of the body in this life, for which reason the prophet devoutly prays, from my necessities deliver me, O Lord." Psalm 24:17. The more a man reflects on the things of heaven, as did Blessed Francis, the more he will despise the things of earth. St. Ignatius declared, "How I loathe the earth once I have looked up to heaven." Frequently direct your thoughts upward so that you may disengage your heart from the trifling things of earth. Prayer of the Church. O God, who didst disengage Blessed Francis from all attachment to the things of earth, and didst lead him to love those that are heavenly, grant that, strengthened by thy grace, we too may despise the world and may love thee alone with our whole heart, through Christ our Lord. Blessed Francis Cicchi of Pesaro, pray for us. Thank you.